Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
I'm delighted to welcome Eamon Brennan. He's the former CEO of the Irish Aviation Authority, also the former Director General of Eurocontrol, the European Aviation Authority, to the Executive Chair. Eamon, great to talk to you.
Thanks, Bobby. Great to be back.
Now, I want to bring you back to your early days in Galway, working for your father, I think was your first job. Were you from a political family?
Yeah, very much so. My father was very involved in Fianna Fáil. He was the director of elections for Galway West. For Bobby Malloy and way back then. And as you know, my late brother was a government minister.
That's right.
Seamus, and very much a political family. And my nephew is actually a TD at the moment.
Who's your Shea. Nephew? Oh, no. Yeah, right. Yeah. And had you ever any interest in politics yourself?
No, I wouldn't get elected. I don't have the patience. You have to be a really nice person. And you lose a lot of abilities when you get involved in politics. And one of them is to tell a fellow to bugger off.
You took a fairly traditional route out of school into NUI Galway, commerce degree, eventually became an accountant.
Yeah.
Where did you do your accountancy training?
So I did my chartered accountant, became a chartered accountant with Oliver Freeney and Company.
Oh, yeah.
And I never really practiced. I never liked accountancy, but it was a kind of a path. I remember the day I did my final accountancy exam, and I was walking across the Salmonware Bridge in Galway, and I took the 1963's Companies Act and I threw it into the corrib. As an act of defiance, because I had struggled with that. Everybody who was in my generation knew that was the key piece of thing, but yeah. I really hated that piece of paper.
But was accountancy a good bridge to what you eventually ended up doing? How did you get your break in aviation?
So accountancy is a great bridge. You get a great understanding of figures and business. It's good for you, definitely.
Yeah.
So what happened was I went to London and I was working with a finance and aviation consultancy, Horwith, in the West End. And they sent me off to Malta to do an aviation and a tourism master plan. And then I got sent off to Malaysia to do one. So I ended up spending 6 and 7 years working in Malaysia.
Wow.
Working very closely with Singapore Airlines, Malaysia, all of the airlines. Got to know the airlines very well then. And then I came back and started working in the Irish Aviation Authority and became the CEO.
Right. So did you go in as CEO there?
No.
Right.
I went in as a business manager there. And the idea was to kind of promote what they do and sell things for them. And I like doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And how long were you with the Irish Aviation Authority?
So I was 15 years as CEO.
Yeah.
So during that time, it's a challenging enough role. Like you were doing the air traffic control for Ireland, the North Atlantic. But also at that time, you know, Ryanair was growing, Aer Lingus was growing, all of the major airlines was growing. So, you know, I think when I started off, Ryanair had 22 airplanes. When I finished up, they had something like 450.
So amazing.
Amazing time, but you had to keep their systems tight.
Yeah. No, but it must have been like a real privilege to be associated with aviation in what were probably the glory years, if we think about it.
Yeah, no.
When we think about how aviation changed in Ireland, certainly, with the arrival of Ryanair, what it did for fares, what it did for access, and how many more planes are in Irish airspace now than there were then.
Yeah, so many. I mean, Ireland is the gateway from Europe to America, so it's really, really an important thing. But, you know, I got a private pilot's license, and that kind of put the love of aviation back
into me. When did you do your pilot training?
So I started training in Galway back in the, I'd say, the late 80s, and I found that it rained too much. So I saw this thing in an advertisement where you could go off to France for 3 weeks, and you could go to Cannes, and you could get your license there. So I ended up getting a UK license there in Cannes. But you could fly every day. So I was flying around Fréjus and Saint-Tropez, and it was a great place for a young person to be flying around. But I love flying. Yeah. I just love everything about it.
So flying then, you know, it being your hobby and then aviation being your work, I suppose it kept you grounded, not to use a term, but it gave you an insight. Your hobby gave you an insight into your job, yeah, and vice versa.
Yeah, very much. I mean, I like to do things to promote aviation for young people to get involved. I mean, I was very involved with the Bray Air Shows. You know, we used to get 100,000 people there.
I was there.
The Red Arrows and all that kind of stuff. So anything at all that gets young people involved in aviation, and I think they have more opportunities today than ever they have. And Ireland is a real hub, and we can very quickly forget the impact that aviation has in Ireland, because, you know, if we don't have our connections to the United States, I'll give you an interesting stat, Bobby. Like, we're the 15th aviation nation in Europe, 15th, but we're the 4th best connected to the United States.
Is that right?
And that really says something about FDI coming into Ireland. You know, a lot of these companies that are here, if you don't have the connections, they won't be here.
Yeah, no, that's very true. In terms of aviation in Europe, your role even in Eurocontrol, you know, managing the air traffic controllers in France that always seem to be on strike, and there always seem to be some kind of turmoil. Tell me a little bit about that world.
So that world really, so the network management in Eurocontrol. What Eurocontrol does basically is, once you leave Ireland, you're in the realm of Eurocontrol. So the European Air Traffic Control System is a 9 billion annually system. That's what it costs to run it.
Wow.
So what we did basically was networked everybody together. But the problem, like you say, is, you know, it has a capacity of about 40,000 flights. It's currently at about 38,000 flights. So if anything goes wrong, like a storm or somebody runs off a runway, you're in trouble. And then we had the Ukraine war situation, where we lost the Ukraine airspace. We lost Russian airspace. So straight away, you know, there's a lot of heavy aircraft in European airspace that previously would use Russian airspace. So it's much more complicated than it was. And I think this summer, for instance, you're looking at further delays because the shortage of air traffic controllers in Germany, shortage of airspace. So we really need a resolution of the Ukraine situation, you know.
So does that mean, in layman's language, that these airs, so the air above Russia and Ukraine, you can't fly through it?
Yeah, you can't. So, yeah. I mean, and previously there was 800 aircraft using Russian airspace over and back to Europe. Now you're squeezing them into European airspace, so EasyJet and, you know, Alitalia and Lufthansa can't use that airspace. So the job in Eurocontrol is constantly juggling, you know, supply versus demand.
Right.
Like, the reality, Bobby, is everybody wants to leave at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and they all want to come back at 8 or 9 in the evening, and that can't happen. So
yeah,
your job is to stretch it out, try and, you know, take the capacity where it is and manage it. So it's a challenging job, and, you know, one that you won't handle that long, that long at it.
There's life after retirement, as they say, because you didn't retire. You're very involved. You're on the board of Ryanair. You also work, I know, with Donald Slattery in Vertical Aero. Space, so your work is still at the forefront of aviation.
Yeah, I'm very interested in, I've got to a stage in life where I can start doing what I like rather than what I have to. All the kids are paid off and everything is done, you know. So the point is, I can do interesting things, but Vertical Aerospace is based in Bristol. Donal is the chairman. What's really interesting about that one is it's what they call an eVTOL, which is an electric hybrid aircraft, which can basically, it's like a small helicopter. And the idea is that it would serve as an air taxi. So we're working on getting certification. We hope they're certified by 2028. And actually, you will see them starting to get increased popularity once we get them certified. And the big thing that Vertical is trying to do is we're trying to certify it to public transport standards, to the same safety standards as helicopters and aircraft. And that's the big challenge, but we're well on the way.
Wow. So my image of that is like Blade Runner and all those the vertical takeoff cars.
Yeah. Well, you see them in the city, and here's the big thing. There's no emissions. They're electric, okay? And the other thing is that they're very quiet.
Yeah.
So they're not like, it's not like a helicopter. This is a much more silent machine. But the big challenge we have is to get it certified. So it's like a breakthrough. This is something like, I remember a guy selling to me once that there's no market for one fax machine. You need two. Yeah. And then when you have 2, you're starting to get business. You know, that's like this.
And the development of that technology must be hugely expensive.
Very.
Very capital intensive. Yeah. And it's also a fairly long trajectory, isn't it, from idea to actually reality.
Trying to get it up and running. I mean, the biggest challenge all of these new technology companies have is basically keeping the capital flowing, making sure they can raise the capital. But, you know, Vertical is well on the way. But there are other ones in Europe, Bobby, that have failed, like Lilium and Volocopter. And then there's big challengers coming out of the States, you know, Joby and Beta and all these kind of guys. But I think that Europe needs to make sure that it stays to the forefront of this. And just if I can kind of wander down a side lane with you for a moment, if you look at, say, drone technology, the way it's involved in warfare, like in the, you know, after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, you can see that it has really evolved. In fact, we'll have probably learned more from that on drones and on guidance systems and self-separation, even for air traffic control, than in any other thing.
It's funny, I was going to ask you about drones, so it isn't a cul-de-sac by any means. When we look at people like Bobby Healy developing in MANA, like drones are going to be very much, they're going to become things that we see every day. In other words, they'll be much more prevalent in our everyday lives in the next 5 or 6 years, will they?
Yeah, they will. I mean, the challenge with drones, there's two types. The challenge with drones is to make sure that they're safe, number one, and they're operating safely. And Bobby's doing a very, very good job on that. And the question of corridors for noise and to make sure you manage all that. But that's very, very manageable. But there's a huge opportunity there.
Yeah. And we also like to ask about what people do in their downtime. We know you're an active pilot and aviation runs through your veins. I didn't know you were a fan of the Saw Doctors, the Galway connection there.
And Leeds United is my other passion.
And Galway football.
Exactly, yeah.
And some of them are up and some of them are down.
Well, I'm afraid if you're a Leeds fan, you're constantly... I finished with this one, Bobby. I was walking across Baggot Street Bridge with my Leeds hat on the other day and 2 guards came up to me and said they were sorry for my trouble.
Eamon Brennan, what a pleasure. Great to talk to you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.